Blog Talk Radio.
I'm walking in authority, living life without apology. It's not wrong, dear, I belong here, so you might as well get used to me. My mother may not be the queen, but my father's king of everything. To the family, so I guess that makes me royalty. And it gave me dominion, yeah. Power of a minion, yeah. Everything I do is a blessing. Promise me some great success. I am the authority, because I'm the majority. Look up on me, look at me. So you might as well get used to me.
I'm walking in
to walk in your authority. Father, we thank you right now for our God-given authority, Father. We thank you for that rightful place in you, Father. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for all that you have bestowed upon us, God. Father, as your children, as your men and women of the gospel, Father, as your son, as your daughter, Lord God, we thank you right now, God, that you're moving us into a place that we know exactly who we are, God, that we're walking with our mantle, Lord God, and we're standing in a place of peace, Father, with our loins girdled up with truth, Father, that we're walking, God, in a place of authority. In the name of Jesus, we say yes and amen. 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 As you begin to say that in your spirit, know that there's no good thing that God will withhold from you if you walk upright. That's what God is saying. It's time to walk in your authority. It's time to be all that God has called you to be, and we cannot compromise. We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise with the enemy. You know, Satan comes in a way that he manipulates and make it appear to be God. So we're going to be talking tonight about healing and deliverance, which is needed so that we may be whole. Our mindset is full of untruths and half-truths, something we inherited from our ancestors, our parents, grandparents, some things that we've been told, or some things we read, and even some things that God is doing in our life right now is causing a deeper revelation to take hold in our spirit. So now what God is doing, he's letting the people of God understand that it's so important that we're whole, that we're healed, and we're whole. You know, we can't be and continue to be the broken pieces, you know, tore up from the floor up, and then we're still going through the motion. That's not how God ordained and structured for the man that he made to be. So he gave us all that we need when he sent Jesus to die so that we might, what? Live. So that we might be made free so that we would no longer be in bondage, so that we could be able to stand our ground. You know the saying that we can legally take authority over all illegal activity. But no, we choose to ignore illegal activity. We let our blinds down, we close our doors, we cover our head, and we pretend not to see it. The big, huge elephant that's in the room. We make a decision that we don't want to be involved in that. We don't want our name said. We don't want to participate because we don't want to be part of that problem. But God is saying, it's your season to walk in your authority. It's your season to be healed and made whole, to be set free. It is the children's bread. You are a son. You are a daughter of the King. And it is for you to be healed. And it is for you to be whole. And it is for you to walk in your healing. It is for you to walk in your deliverance. It is for you to understand that there are some things that God wants to move out of your life so that he may bring some things into your life. Amen. And in order for each and every one of us to walk in our place of authority, we must begin to look inside and see what is missing or what is needed. You know, sometimes we don't examine ourselves, but we can often examine others without seeing the error of our ways. We want to do deliverance, but we need deliverance. We want to lay hands on the sick so that they may recover, but we need healing. We're going to be talking tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to be talking tonight about healing and deliverance, standing your ground, and what God has in store for each and every one of us. You know, this is the season where the holidays are upon us, and a lot of the times it's a time when a lot of people get sad or disgruntled, memories of pain of the past, and a lot of things be happening. But what God is saying now, each and every day, he wants us to stand our ground. Doesn't matter what season it is, he wants us to make righteous stands, and he wants us to be whole. Amen. Glory to God. I want to thank everyone that have called in and tuning in on this Sunday, December the 11th, 2016, which is a great day in the Lord. I am truly excited about what God is doing. You know, sometimes we perish because of lack of knowledge. Sometimes that we can't walk in our wholeness, walk in wholeness because of lack of knowledge. So it's important that we keep our ears open so we can hear what God is saying to his people. God is talking. God is speaking. God is trying to say something to his people so that we won't just go through the motion. You know, he don't want us to just go through the motion. He want us to be able to stand our ground. So when we say something, that's what we do when we can back up the word of God. Amen, amen. Yes, I am excited tonight. I want you to get your Bibles out, and if you don't already have your Bibles, we're going to first go to Romans 12 and 2. Amen. You know, it's so much needed when it comes to being set free and being able to know that there's a way that seems right and is not right. The Bible says in Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Father. So we should not be conformed to this world. We should not compromise ourselves for worldly things, worldly ways. But the Bible said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are you thinking? You know, what are you feeding your spirit? Why should our minds be renewed? That let you know that the Bible is speaking that we are not walking or living in the mindset of a king. He wants our mindset to be kingly, priestly. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation where we don't live beyond our means, that we understand that God is just good. God is just good. I want to take you to, let me get my notes out. Thank you, Father. Our minds is what the enemy attacks. He often attacks the way we think. And the way that we think will ultimately become the way that we live. And this is because if you're thinking in a way that is not biblically based, then what we're doing is we're allowing the enemy to come in our thought. See, the Bible says that a man's ways seem right in his own eyes, but in the end, there's destruction. So sometimes we can just think we're so right about something, but in the end, there's destruction. So we have to examine, we have to revisit every thought, that it will line up with the Word of God, that it will line up with the truth of God, so that we can accomplish this wholeness, you know, the wholeness that God has promised us. There's a wholeness not just in our physical body, but a wholeness in our spiritual life. You know, I believe that illnesses, different diseases are literally an attack of the enemy. Because the Bible says that he wished above all things that we would prosper, that our soul would prosper, and that we would be what? In good health. In good health. God is saying that good health is ours. And a prosperous soul is ours. So can you imagine that here goes this man that God made in good health with a prosperous soul? It's nothing like having your soul prosper. Because when your soul is prospering, you're able to stand your ground because you have knowledge of the will of God. It's required not only to have a zeal of God, but to know him and the power of his might and the power of his resurrection. See, it's a deeper walk that's required so that we would know the truth. And the truth, the Bible says, will what? Make us free. So some of the lies, some of the things that we embrace, which we know is not God, but we go along to get along. And it's giving the enemy a legal, I'm going to say legal territory. So we have to stand our ground in every single situation. But in order to stand your ground in the spirit, we must know how to fight spiritually. How many know how to fight spiritually? If you know how to fight spiritually, if you're equipped to fight spiritually, you will not lose. Sometimes we can fight in the natural with words, and some go deeper than that. But to fight in the spirit realm, you don't have to even raise your voice. So God is saying that he wants us to recover the legal ground, that anything that have, and I'm going to say that sometimes we might have agreement with demonic forces and don't even know it. You know, walking in agreement with something that's not God, maybe because it's someone that we love and care about, so we let them be in the state that they're in because we don't want to compromise the relationship in the natural, but we compromise the spiritual blessing that they could have if we just open up our mouth. We're talking about standing our ground. In order to stand our ground, we must know how to walk in spiritual authority and be whole and walk in spiritual, a place of healing and deliverance. One of the first things that we're needed, that's needed to do, and that we would be able to understand, that healing is the children's bread. Healing is what God had prepared for us. He knew that we were going to need to be healed. He knew it. It's a divine healing. It's a supernatural power that God is bringing to all flesh that literally would oppose sickness and diseases when we're walking in spiritual truth. It's all about spiritual truth. Spiritual truth. That we don't embrace anything that's not of God. Everything that we stand for is lining up with the word of God. We're not deceived by Satan's devices. Stand your ground. See, sometimes we can see a person and we think that they're tore up from the floor up, but we have not looked into the mirror and see that we're tore up from the floor. So we're going to start right there. We're going to start at the place where, Lord, help me to be made whole. Show me the error of my ways. Teach me how to live a holy, set-apart life, so that I can prosper in my soul, so that I may be whole, so that I can be used as a vessel that you will be pleased with. So we're going to start with this heart thing. It's a heart thing. Sometimes when our heart is not right, and we can wrestle with it all day and all night. Well, I think I'm a pretty good person. And I think, and we can think all the thoughts that we would like to. But nobody can see another person's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can see the heart of another person and also can see whether, you know, the motives are right or wrong. But it's imperative that when we listen to the Holy Spirit within us, that each time that we would hear a message from the Holy Spirit, you know, we should never ignore the tugging of the Holy Spirit, because he's trying to lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. And he said, I won't dwell in an unclean temple. So we all say that we have the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're saved by his grace. So we make these proclamations. But yet, we're struggling with ourselves. Struggling to have peace. Struggling to forgive. Struggling not to have animosity. Struggling not to be jealous. Struggling. The fact that someone cares enough for another person to want to see healing and deliverance, it's only because you have experienced it yourself, where you may struggle with some things and you say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need deliverance. Lord, I need healing. Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Do you recognize some things that you need removed out of your life and some things that we may need brought into our life? Maybe it's peace. You know, maybe it's joy. Maybe it's truly forgiveness. You know, maybe it's love. You know, maybe I see you prospering and then I see a little envious spirit rising up in me. But I want to deny it, but I know it's there. Maybe it's that. It's the truth of God's word that will bring us into a place of healing. So the Holy Spirit tugs with our heart, and sometimes we ignore it and we won't listen to him. And just even listening to the word of God, you know, the fact that you know that it's the Spirit of God. You wrestle with the Spirit of God. Wrestling with the Spirit of God. Wrestling with an angel. Can you imagine? Wrestling with an angel. And began to say, I won't let you go until I'm whole. You know, I just won't let you go until you heal me, until you show me how I can be healed. So I want you to ask yourself today, and I want you to examine your thoughts. Do you believe that you are equipped and qualified, walking in full authority of your mantle? There's a mantle that's on your life. And there are some things that God is trying to do for you and with you. And there's a strategy that God has given. And it's for seasons and times. Sometimes because we're not walking in our full deliverance, our full healing, we're not able to encounter the things that we can encounter through the Spirit because we can't handle it, and let alone to do a deliverance because we're not ready ourselves. God wants to release this mantle on you, and this mantle will birth our destiny. So it's imperative that you and I and all that's on the line, that we get equipped and that we learn how to do self-deliverance. Self-deliverance. And that we are I always say this, that we are not haughty and that we do not feel like that we have arrived. We never want to feel that we have arrived. We want to always stay humble. We want to always stay hidden behind the cross. Let God get all of the glory. But let's talk about self-deliverance. You know, there are some deliverance prayers that create an atmosphere. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm going to cast a demon out and, you know, I rebuke you, Satan. But I tell you, we have no power if we don't have the faith that God will do it. See, we connect our faith with our words and the words with the Bible. The word of God. So we speak the word of God. We connect our faith with the word, and God will do the work. Holy Spirit will do the work. I'm going to give you three steps for self-deliverance from strongholds, demonic activity, holds that hold you strong, strongholds. Amen. You know, sometimes we have sickness and emotional pain that's literally rooted from spiritual problems. The truth is what's going to make us free. It's the truth that makes us free. Sickness and emotional pain are rooted from spiritual problems. You know, a person coming for deliverance is convicted of sin and truly want to be delivered out of bondage. What is the bondage? The bondage could be, you know, I can't make decisions. But let me make these points. You know, our first goal is to help him understand that he doesn't need to go through a prayer line to receive deliverance. I'll give you an example. So we have this person that is coming for deliverance and is convicted of sin. See, God will convict us when we're wrong. And then we truly want to be delivered out of bondage. But Jesus said in his word that anyone who seek him in a right spirit with the right tools, what did he say? He said, if you seek me, you're going to find me. So if you seek deliverance, you're going to get deliverance. So we have to what? One of the tools, I told you I'll give you three, we have to repent. But we can't repent if we don't think we're wrong, if we're not convicted. We must repent. And then we have to renounce. What does that mean? And I'm going to break each one down. Won't be with you long, but I want to break down repentance, renouncing, and then we have to break the stronghold. So when we repent, it literally means that to repent, to turn from. Once we repent and turn from sin, not only we can turn from sin, but we have to be regretful. I'm going to use that word, sorrowful of the sin or the offense. You know, to repent, I can tell you, forgive me, I'm sorry. I can just use those words and not mean any of it. Only the Holy Spirit know our ways and our hearts. To repent, to come back to the place of humility. You know, I'm sorry that I hurt you. To be sorrowful of the sin. So true repentance is needed. Meaning you are in a place of humility and you come and you repent. Whether it's to another person, whether it's through God. Sometimes we have to repent to ourselves. And we're coming back to the one who grants forgiveness. So we're not trying something new or anything different. It's simple. We're reaffirming our need for God, for deliverance, for our Redeemer, by asking for forgiveness. Because the Bible says that we have all sinned, LL, all. Not just me, not just you, but we have all sinned, ED, sinned. Amen. So if there is no repentance, then we continue to walk in darkness. We continue to be deceived by the enemy. And if we continue to be deceived, we will remain in bondage. So I'm going to use another example. Just say someone is offended by maybe something I did or I said, and then I'm thinking, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Why should I repent? Because they took offense to something I said or did. Should I repent? Should I apologize? And I'm going to open up the phone line just so I can hear maybe someone's opinion. You know, if someone feel you have hurt them, do you feel that you need to repent, apologize, because they feel you have hurt them? Can I have anyone that's willing to step forward and say, do you feel you should apologize just because they feel offended?
Glory to God. This is Amanda Audrey Milton. And I have my great nephew who I know he's upset with me because what I said to him as far as speaking to the demon that's inside of him. So I know that he feels offended by that because that's what I said to him. And I feel that I'm going to apologize to him because he feels offended for it, but I'm going to still stick by for what I said to him because I was speaking to that demon that was inside of him.
Amen, amen.
So that's the way I feel about it.
So you're going to apologize to the human spirit but not to the demon.
That is correct.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Can I get someone else that may have their viewpoint on that?
This evangelist, Monica Hardaway. I feel that, you know, if someone is offended by, you know, because everybody perceives things in a different way. So you might say something and you might not feel that you offended the person, but the person might have, you know, got offended by what you said. So I feel that, you know, just humble yourself and, you know, and just apologize, you know, and just say, hey, if I said something that offended you or if I said something that hurt you, just go ahead and release that, you know, and just go ahead and apologize so that it won't go festering to something else. So I just feel that we just need to be more humble about other people's feelings and just go ahead and apologize and just say, I'm sorry I said something that hurt you, that hurt your feelings, and move on.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen. You know, it's something, the Bible says offenses are going to come. People are going to get offended. And so in order to stand your ground, do I let that person stay offended and I continue to seek deliverance for them? Or is it better for me to maybe say, you know, forgive me, I didn't mean to hurt you, but my conviction still stands. I didn't change my mind about what I said, but my conviction still stands. Okay, just say, for instance, I'll give you an example. Here we got someone that maybe stole the keys to your car and took your car and burnt your gas out, tore your car up, and came back, and they're mad at you. So they're offended. But it's your car, your keys, your gas, that they then, you know, did what they wanted to do, and then they come back and they're angry at you. Do I apologize to them? I mean, I know that's a whole different scenario, but it's still that they're offended because you're angry because they did something to you. You know, and it's a lot of different scenarios. Just like Evangelist Monica said, you know, it could be you humbling yourself and you apologize so you can move on. That can work in some situations. And then there's other situations, no matter what you say, it's not going to make it any better. It's not going to make it any better. But in order to be made whole, you know, I believe that the Bible substantiates what I'm saying, that love overcomes. You know, love conquers all. And we can love but yet hate the sin. So if we love the person and hate the sin, then we have to be balanced and know how to do deliverance. We must know how to do deliverance. We must know how to walk in it, and we must know how to cast out demons. It's essential because as we grow in God, you get challenged even more. So the more word that you eat, the more challenges that comes up that will come upon you. So what are you going to do now? The demon all in your face, you're rich with the word. What are you going to do now that you got all this word in you and this demon is all in your face? What are you going to do? You're going to rebuke the demon, and the demon don't leave. And then you got legions of demons that come and won't leave because you don't know what to do next. So you apologize to the person, but the demon is still there. The demon is still there. So you repent it, and the demon is in your face. Now, sometimes they'll take weakness, they'll think it's weakness when it's humility. Sometimes they'll think it's just weakness. So the demons will get emboldened. And then you walking in humility is your strength. You don't have to be boastful. You don't have to be proud. All you have to do is have confidence in the tools that I'm teaching you tonight. So now we at the step, we went through repentance. We're talking about repenting. We're talking about forgiveness, granting forgiveness. We're talking about be humble and walking in humility where you're not afraid to say to the person, call their name out. You know, Jack, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you, but I'm not talking to you right now. Okay, so now we got Jack out the way. But the demon is still there. So what do you do? You know, are we going to call, ask them, what's your name? You know, Jack might say, I'm Jack. No, I'm not talking to you, Jack. So you need to know what spirits you're dealing with. Try the spirit, by the spirit. So you'll know if it's God. So here's the demon hiding in check. You can't renounce something you don't know. So to renounce, what does that mean? What does renounce mean? What does renounce mean? It means to give up, to refuse, to resign, or by formal declaration, whereas like repenting is directed to God, or renouncing is directed toward the enemy. I renounce you, whatever the spirit is. You have to call the spirit out, and you don't have to even address the person by name. But you want to call the demon by its name. They don't want to hear their name. It's almost like a thief that stole something. They don't want you to talk about stealing because you're calling them out. They don't want to be exposed. All hidden sin want to stay hidden. So remember that. The demons, the spirits, don't want to hear their name because they want to stay hidden. They want to stay suppressed. They don't want you to address the problem because how dare you address the problem, because they might end up being evicted because they've been living in this house for a long time. They're ancient of days. They've been there. They're comfortable. They're not only in the fibers of the wall, but they're in the lining of the skin tissue. Well, we got three layers of skin, epiderm. They're very, very comfortable because they've been there for a while. How dare you call my name? In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you right now that everyone on this line, Father, that their thoughts, their minds, their heart is open to receive their healing, their deliverance, Father, and that they will be able to lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover because they are whole. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's just that simple. So now what I've done, I made a declaration over you, and you're sealed in that declaration. So now these demons, they're so comfortable. They don't want you to call their name. They don't want you to renounce them. How dare you call out this demon of lies, or the demon of destruction, or the demon of jealousy, or this emotionally unbalanced demon that got you acting all crazy when you can't get your way. You know, these are spirits that try to attach themselves to our human being. So we can renounce by calling it out. And when we renounce something, I renounce you in the name of Jesus. We call the spirit out. And so you can't be afraid. If you're afraid, you're not ready. Because it's almost like we need water to survive. The enemy needs fear to survive. But we live by faith. So we don't have to get all out of order to do deliverance. But we have to make our calling and election sure that God is going to use us when we do it. So we renounce it, and that's directed straight to the enemy. We're not countermanding any words, or we're not going to contradict God's word. We're making a formal declaration that we'll no longer align ourselves with things that opposes God. So we're canceling anything, any agreements with the enemy. So he's comfortable in the room with us, and he knows that we know who he is. So guess what? He won't look at you. He's going to try to get out your way, because guess what? He don't want you to evict him from his home. You have the power, you have the authority to do it. But are you walking in your authority? Are you walking in your God-given authority? And then humble at the same time. You know, God, Jesus just amazed me. The more I study the word, it's like I just love the way he carried himself. You know, he was just so cool and so calm and so collective, but he had all power in his hand. And he didn't boast. He was just Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Glory to God. With all power in his hand. So anyway, we began to renounce by calling it out, refusing any tie, identifying What spirit? So God has given us authority in Jesus. So, and even in his name, to cancel any spiritual binding contract that we may have made with the devil with our words. You know, there's certain little things we say, and we don't realize that we're saying words that connect us and tie us and with the enemy. You know, you might say certain things. I'm a diatrine. You know, you a simple little word. Many words that we say tie us up with the enemy, but we're going to cancel all of that out, and we're not going to have any ties, any soul ties with the enemy, no words, no nothing. So we make these declarations first. We decree it, we repent, and then we renounce. And I remember when you're renouncing something, it's directed toward the enemy. So you've taken the fight to him. You know, you're not waiting on him to come and pick on you. You're taking it to him. You know, it's a righteous indignation that comes over you when you know it's time for either that person to be set free or for you to be set free. But before you try to do deliverance, want to make sure that you are connected and that you're whole and you're in a place of spiritual authority with knowing who you are in God, knowing that he's giving you that authority to set the captive free. You know, and then know what weapons you have. We're going to be teaching on deliverance, and we're going to be using our weaponries. And that's what's wrong. We don't use our weapons. We have them, but we don't use them. We don't put on the whole armor of God. You know, we don't stand. You know, we will retreat when the heat gets hot. Amen, amen. But again, there's authority in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the blood of Jesus. You know, many believers repent of sin, but then we find ourselves in like a losing tug of war with the enemy. What does that mean? We begin to repeat the failure. You know, so if you repent, you're turning away from. You can't go back. Can't go back no more. You know, I was sharing with Evangelist earlier today. We were at this church, and this demon came up to me and, you know, was pretty much in disguise. And she said, you know, I knew she wanted to connect with me. And she said, "Do you have any cards?" And I could just see all these demons on this lady. And I didn't say no. I said nope, N-O-P-E. I knew she wasn't my assignment. But I knew that the church that she was at, she had many that probably could help her and could be her assignment. So don't fight other people's battles. Know what your assignment is. You know, don't be all over the place. You're trying to be everything to everybody. No, know your assignment and do it well. Know who you assigned to. So I knew when she came up to me that it was a trap. And so, again, I didn't say no. I said nope. She said, "You got a card?" Nope. Praise God. We have to know what battle is ours. You know, don't get into a fight with a battle that's not yours. Amen, amen. And then we have to shut the door to our sin, to things that we have repented from, and the door is still open. And so the door on the devil, when you shut that door and you refuse to go back and you make those formal declarations not to walk in the ways of your past, You know, you have to make a commitment. I'm not going back. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm just not going to do it. So you have to collect yourself, collect your thoughts, and all become one. I'm not going to do it. So it's like, nope. That was funny to me. I said it before I knew it. I didn't say no. I said nope. Mm-hmm. Help me out. Help me out. Amen. She understood. It was understood. Amen. So we have to shut the door. And renouncing is the means by which we cut off any legal right for Satan to bind or to torment us. And this is the way we resist him. The Bible says if we resist him, he'll flee. So we say, it's a nope in your spirit. It ain't going to happen no more. You know, it's a formal declaration that you are not going to do it anymore. So you shut the door. Shut the door. You have to shut the door. You have to renounce. You renounce it in your spirit. You renounce it in your words. You know, the Bible says we can't bring correction unless we lay the law down. So we lay the law down. No, not going to do it anymore. No, you're not going to do that to me anymore. No. So there's a renouncing that has to take place. Amen, amen. I get excited about this because I know that the teaching, it helps in our everyday life. You know, when you renounce some things, you literally renounce it. You know, I don't care what it is. You know you. You know yourself. But our words have been contrary to God's word. You know, when we have aligned ourselves with the work of darkness, and we know, like, little certain things, it's like the little ikes that destroy the vine. We have to be set free from them. Have to be set free. We must counter those words with God's word. Instead of using our own words, use the word of God. And then we renounce the hidden work of shame. You know, we may do some things in shame of it. You know, God is so compassionate and his grace is sufficient. It's like he's such a great God that he will allow us to be in a rightful place with him if we just follow the order that he has set before us. So we renounce the hidden things of shame and not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man, conscience in the sight of God. That's 2 Corinthians 4:2. So we just follow the word of God. So we repent, we renounce, and then the Bible says, after we renounce, then we can break the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage. So we break. Repent, renounce, and break. Then you can go in for the gusto. You know, I renounce you, Satan. You will not torment the sister any longer. And they call those spirits out. Renounce it, whatever it is. I renounce it. It shall not take place. What am I doing? I'm standing my legal ground. I'm walking in the authority that God has given me. You might hear somebody say, well, who does she think she is? I'm nothing. But I'm a servant, and God chose to use me to deliver you. That's what you tell him. He chose to use me to set you free. Amen. Know who you are in God. Don't let no one use idle words to try to make you feel that you're not doing what God called you to do. Because the enemy wants to torment God's people with sickness and disease, with poverty, with lies, deception, untruth. You know, so many go on and on. And then so we go through the motion of church. But God is trying to take us to a kingdom mentality. Amen. Break. So after we repent, We have the right to cancel or denounce any legal holdings that the enemy have over us or over anyone or whoever we're dealing with. The yoke of bondage can be broken off of our lives, their lives. God loves to see us come to a place where yokes are being destroyed because of the anointing. Yokes are being broken. It's through when you know who you are and when you know these procedures, guess what? It really, truly frustrates the enemy. It is quite common to use anointing oil when praying for someone's deliverance, but there is nothing supernatural about the oil. Guess what? But it represents someone who is supernatural, and this is Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, Isaiah 61 and 1. But the oil, it serves as a point of reference to build faith. Amen? So we connect our faith. Lord, I know you're going to do it because you said it. I believe it. So if I dare to step out on faith and lay my hands on the sick, they shall recover. If I dare to get out of myself and not say, well, what if they don't get healed? Or what if they don't get delivered? No, you can't feed yourself that. You feed yourself faith. Because it's by faith that this happens, that healing comes, the yoke of bondage are destroyed and broken. The yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. The enemy has been renounced with the authority of Jesus' name and broken by the power of his death and resurrection. I'm telling you, you got all of the goods. You have everything that you need. So at this point, a breaking began to take place. You know, a struggling begins. Sometimes they might manifest and sometimes they don't. And even if those demons start trying to manifest, you stick to renouncing. You don't move. You stay there. You stay there. You keep casting it out. You keep renouncing it. You don't have to struggle. You stay in that place. He uses everything he can to bring fear, to make you feel that you fail. Stay in faith. Keep renouncing. Keep renouncing. You're serving notice on the enemy. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm excited about it because I understand that God want to take us to a place where the enemy see us and he take off running. That's where God wants his people. We're not playing with the enemy. We're not playing with demons. We can't pet them. We can't allow them to feel comfortable when they're around us. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm grateful to all that have called in tonight, and we will continue on our teaching on healing and deliverance. We are looking for Friday evening that we'll be doing this teaching because guess what? In order to stand your ground, you need to know healing and deliverance is needed to be made whole. Amen. 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 Let this day be a day of thanksgiving. You know, sharpen up your prayer life. Recover from everything that have hurt you. And just begin to spend some quiet time with God. And let him lead, guide, and direct you into all truth. Again, this is Pastor Teresa Docks. And I am excited about what God is doing in the lives of his people. The mandate that he is putting on the lives of all of you that's on the line. Don't let no one tell you that God don't want to use you. Don't let no one tell you God don't want to use you. Don't let no one tell you that you're not qualified. When you embrace the word and you begin to see the change come in your life, when man says no, guess what? God says yes. When he says yes, no one can tell you no. Amen. It's all about you. becoming what God has called you to become, taking off everything that's not like him, and begin to put on a cloak of holiness. Because that's what I long for. Holiness. Holiness. Doing things that's right and pleasing. Because no man know the day nor the hour that the Son of Man is coming back. Because guess what? He is coming back. And on that note, I just need a little more Jesus. I say it over and over again. Just give me a little more Jesus. When you feel yourself getting weak, play our song. And let this just be our song. Amen. I need a little more Jesus. I'm going to say goodnight to everyone. Thank you for calling in. Help you along the way. We want to say good night. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Know that God loves you and God want to work through you. to get his work finished in the land. God bless you all, and we love you. Have a blessed evening and good night.
Take my life.